And it's really not understood beyond this. If you accept it, trying to explain it further, that's where you are. It also foundation every day. And I hope that this morning we can see that the Trinity, among other things, points to how all of us have places at the table of the Lord. That's how it is the foundation of following Jesus. The Trinity, how all of us at the table of the Lord. And as I mentioned, among many other things, just that one day. We'll build on that because it has so much to do. And the great vision of Isaiah that Susan read just a minute ago, we see several aspects of the Trinity. One is, you could call the Trinity a kind of an eternal circle dance. The three in one is always in a living relationship with each other, or itself. One, there is always a dynamic living relationship. And that's the first thing we're going to look at today. The second thing is this. The place we start with the Trinity is our goodness, not our sin. In fact, the place we start entirely with the And the starting point is not our sin. I'm hoping you'll find that. And then the third one we've already mentioned, we already have a place. We always have a place at the table of the Trinity. So let's look at these for just a minute. The circle dance, always in a living relationship with each other. There is an eternal, always active relationship between the three in one and the one in three. Now, some early mystics of the church describe it this way. Whatever is going on in God is a flow, a radical relatedness, a perfect communion between the three, circle dance of love. Now, use whatever image that's helpful to you, dancing, maybe a barn dance, square dancing, if you've done that. I mean, that's groups moving together. Maybe you've seen Israeli circle dancing or other cultures doing circle dancing. That's the kind of thing that's described here. At our church in Pennsylvania, St. Mary, there was a handful of years where we had a wide set of relationships with other churches in the entire Philadelphia area. And one of those was the Beth Shalom, a Messianic Jewish congregation. And, you know, we'd have our meetings where everybody would come. And these people from Beth Shalom, they had this Israeli circle dancing down. And a lot of other people learned it. And so what would happen on Sunday mornings at our place is in the last song, a number of people would get form a circle and start going around, and this is really dance. It's all very, very wonderful. I don't know what else to call it, but it was incredibly good. And we'd have visitors come, and I'd go to see them later in the week, say, "Oh, glad you came." And the kids would say, "That's the funnest church I've ever been to." And parents would say, "Yes, you're amazing." But nonetheless, what was going on was there was a depiction of the dynamic mercy, power, and love of God. We see it here also in the reading where the Lord is pictured, the Lord is speaking. The rain of the robe of the Lord is filling the whole temple, you know, whatever that looked like, I don't know. That self-reference is who will go for us. Very, very powerful. Now that might be an academically weak point. But it shows one and one in three. Okay, keep that on the our who's like that? Our own goodness. Now, most of us have heard some teaching which strongly suggests and perhaps even hits you over the head with the idea we are sinners, and to start with God, we acknowledge our sins, confess our sins, repent, and ask Jesus to save us. Now, I want to suggest to you there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's just that God doesn't start with us there. That comes along a little later. And in fact, as we live and do things, where some of them being sinful and we confess them. Thought I'd get an amen on that one, but that's okay. That's right. Where God's what God wants to do with us is restore us to where we were in Eden. And restoring us to the place that God starts with us, which is our goodness. And then on the cross, he pays for the ways that we strayed from that, got apart from that, and brings us back to that starting place again and again and again. So I want to make sure that you're reassured that when God looks at you, God does not see someone who is in awful shape, needs to be corrected, has really gone off course, and maybe can get back. God sees someone when he looks at you and says, this one is my child, who I love, and who I am well pleased. You could just let that sink in day after day after day. It goes against our culture. So our culture, one way or another, if you buy yourself like you, then you'll have what you need. And you'll say, okay, so off you do it. The next commercial, or hear the next thing, where it says, really need, and then you'll be set, is this. We've been raised for that. That's been our culture in America for a long time. And it's not just America. And God is saying, no. You are good just the way you are. Our yearning for goodness with which we were created. That started in the Garden of Eden, if you will. It started with God looking at us and saying, you are good. It's the draw to come back home. And that's what brings us to the next part about the Trinity this morning, is that there's always a place for us at the table of the Trinity. And what I want to do, I didn't have these ready to hand out with the bulletin, but I'd like If you'd take that'd be great. You may recognize this from your days in school. If not, that's okay. A little art appreciation here. And from Patty and Jen and Mark and Theo, I'm going to start right now looking at the icon of the Trinity. You might have that from what I sent to you. Does everyone see it? Very famous Rublev's Russian iconographer who did this. This is very famous. Many people think this is the most wonderful depiction of the Trinity. Unfortunately for us, it's not in color. But you can see here, I brought my pointer. You can see here, there's a table, and we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit sitting around, and they're having a meal together. That's the depiction of the three in one and one in three. But what I really particularly want you to notice this morning, on the table, in the front of the table, there's a little tiny rectangle. Do you see it? Some scholars believe that that was on the original icon. That was the place where a mirror would be mounted. The stand for the mirror would be mounted there. And when you looked at the icon, you would also see your own image there. The idea is you and I always have a place at the table of the Trinity. We are continually invited to enter into the circle dance, the table fellowship, the wonderful relationship that the Trinity has. So once you see that, the question I think comes up is, well, how does that work? We can enjoy that. We can feel it. We can sense the presence of the Lord thinking about it. But how does it work out day to day? Because sometimes you just don't feel it, right? It's just not quite there. But you can still work it out. It's still a reality. And I think that the best, most powerful, most regular way that we can do it is this. Being there for each other is like the Trinity. And it's something we experience here at St. Francis very powerfully. Let me give you some examples. A few years ago when my dad died, you were there. And then a little bit after that, when Carol's dad, and then a bit after that, her mom died, you were there. And many of us who have loved ones or other things going on in our lives, we feel the loss, we grieve, and we show up, and we look around and we say, oh, you are there. It's being there for each other like that. There's many other examples. We could go on for quite a long time. And maybe some are coming to your mind where you have experienced that in this fellowship, where there's been something that you've lost or you're missing. Maybe you don't even know what it is, but you have that sense of that. And you look around and there, you are there. Everyone else is there with you, walking with you through it. We experience that and grow in it here. And just as our unity is not agreeing on everything, as you may have already discovered. It's being there for each other, like the three in one and the one in three. That's how we live out our relationship with God as the Trinity. And that deepens and it goes further and it goes into other areas of our life as we go along. But that's the place we experience it the most, is with each other. Seeing the presence of Jesus in each other is one of the ways we experience being at the table of the Trinity. So I want to encourage you with these things and challenge you a bit with the question I usually end with. What is God pointing out to you right now about the Trinity or the unity or anything that has struck you this morning? What's coming to your mind? What's bubbling up through your spirit about that? And then, what do you feel God would have you do with that? And when God says to you, you are good, and you do have a place at my table all the time, how does that form you? And what step would you take in that? Would you please stand? God of all, we thank you that you are three in one and one in three, and you make a place for us at your table. We ask that our lives would always reflect being at that place, and that we would always grow in it. And we ask that for the glory of your name. Amen.